For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Believe in NBA Prospects. I am Josh Rodriguez. I'm here with
Quab, also known as Quab, a.k.a. Yes, but we're just going to go with Quab.
Oh, we're just going to... I'm here with Quab. I'm here with Quab.
Quab, exclamation point. Stop. Full stop. Full stop.
Like I said, this is Believe in NBA Prospects on Los Angeles' number one sports podcast network, Believe Podcast. Listen, if you haven't subscribed to us, please subscribe right now on iTunes. Give us 5 stars, all that good stuff. Also, follow Believe at Believe Podcast. They have a whole bunch of shows about the NFL, NBA, The Bachelor. I don't know if you guys are following that.
Relationship advice.
You never know who's listening to this podcast.
Yeah, anybody. I mean, you could want to hear about basketball or like The Bachelor. It works out.
Yeah, it works out the same. So let's get straight into it. Last episode, we did an episode about basically surprising teams or surprising schools that had good draft class. So you had Memphis, you had Georgia. But this time around, Quab, it's time for the usual suspects.
The usual teams that everybody knows, you know, your Kentuckys, your your Dukes. So, we don't have a. What's the
I don't know. I just never liked Duke and your UNCs.
I never liked UNC. So there you go.
Oh, really? I don't know. I just never liked Duke. I've never liked Duke. I don't want to get into That's a whole nother episode. Let's just talk about Duke's draft class. Let's start with Duke since we're so fixated on them. Now obviously Zion Williamson goes to the NBA draft. RJ Barrett's on my favorite team, the New York Knicks. Who else did they lose?
Cam Reddish to the Hawks.
I was going to say the Kentucky Hawks. Jesus Christ, Josh, you host an NBA podcast. Are you serious?
Cam Reddish to the Kentucky Atlanta Hawks.
But the interesting thing about Duke is that they've kind of changed their identity from, you know, this school that's all about academics and graduating players, and, you know, your J.J. Reddicks, your Shane Battiers, and now they're a bunch of one-and-done players, as evidenced with their new incoming class. And we'll start with Vernon Carey, a 6'10 freshman. Quab, I got to be honest with you. I saw a lot of YouTube footage that you sent me from these prospects, and he was one of my favorite players. I don't know how you feel about him, but I thought he was very smart just based off of the films that I saw. It seemed like he had a nice touch, can play both inside and outside. I liked him a lot, like a lot, more than Wiseman, who Memphis got. I understand that Wiseman might have a bigger ceiling, but right now I feel like Vernon Carey is one of the most polished players that I've seen coming into their first year in college. What do you think of him?
I agree with you. I like him a lot too, but I feel like for some reason he's not very high on a lot of draft boards. Like it's confusing. Yeah. It's like, wait, and then you see him play, you're like, what am I missing right here? I see a lot of low lottery, sometimes like low first round. I'm like, and like you said, a 6'10 skilled big man inside out. Like he fits the NBA game also. I'm kind of confused why. Well, I'll say this, like, because of his the main thing about him is he's not always he doesn't always look in shape. He looks like he's tired most of the time, but skill wise though, he has it all.
Yeah, he looks really polished, like very polished, to the point where it's like, I don't say he can be in the NBA now, but I feel like he can go to any team and fit in right away. Like he don't need to specifically pick a special team for him, or there's not going to be like a team where like if he doesn't go here, he's screwed. Like I think he can fit into any system in the NBA.
I agree. Especially with the way NBA plays now, where your big has to be able to go outside, inside. I think the one issue I think we'll see during the season is how can he guard? Because the NBA is all pick and roll. If you can't play pick and roll defense, like you're just kind of stuck out there. So I think that might be one thing. But offensively, though, he is, like you said, very, very skilled.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up that whole pick and roll defense type of it's not even a theory anymore. It's just a fact in the NBA. A lot of teams just run pick and roll offenses. They spread the floor. And if you're a big man and you can't guard the pick and roll, there's really no future for you in the NBA, which maybe is a reason why he's so low. I mean, I haven't really seen any defensive highlights of him, so I wouldn't be able to judge his defensive game. But that's one thing I can think of. Maybe that's why he's in the 20s. Maybe a lot of scouts just can't see him playing defense.
Well, a lot of offense now is just spread out, and defenses just switch everything. They don't commit to staying with your man. So if you're a big man and you're slow-footed, you end up getting stuck on a guard. That's a mismatch every time. But offensively, like you said, he's very, very polished. I'm interested to see how he translates at Duke, especially after the year they had where it was all cameras, all eyes was on Duke every single game. So I'm interested to see how much attention like the team gets this year compared to last year.
Well, I think they'll be very good. They do have a nice incoming draft class coming in. So, you know, we'll talk more about that going forward. Another prospect they have is Matthew Hurt, 6'9", freshman. Saw him play. He just seems like, I don't know, I wouldn't say very fundamental, but just knows how to play the game, can shoot very, very well. Like, he's what I picture old school Duke to be. Now, he looks really slow, which kind of concerns me. I don't know how he's going to be, you know, going in the ACC every night with the athletes that are in the ACC. Even the ones who aren't typically skilled basketball players are just extremely athletic. So what do you see from Matthew Hurt? And do you think he's actually going to be an NBA prospect or even a successful basketball player on the college level? Because for me, seeing, you know, his, I guess, lack of speed kind of concerns me.
I agree with you on that. Like watching him, like you said, he can just shoot, and I think shooting has become such a very much needed skill in the league now.
Yeah.
Like every team wants shooters. Like I think that's why a player like Cam Johnson got drafted so high from North Carolina, or Ty Jerome from Virginia, who's also a shooter, got drafted so high. So teams seem to want shooters. And for his height and his ability, he kind of fits the NBA game as a stretch four. But again, similar to Vernon Carey, he seems like he might be slow-footed. I don't know. Like you said, it might be – we'll see during the season how he adjusts. Like when you're going against like athletes and the person you're facing just moves way faster than you. And again, I don't know how he will look in a pick and roll defense. So
yeah, I don't even know how much playing time he's going to get. I'm not really sure what Duke's rotation is going to be. I don't know how they're going to fit in, but I mean, I can't really imagine him starting or even getting that too many minutes off of the bench. I think
you don't. You know, I think he'll
start.
You
think so?
I think that front line, I think those two freshmen could be the starting front line just because you're so versatile.
Okay.
This is very, very early on. It's not even the college basketball preseason yet.
Yeah.
So we'll see when the season starts. But I definitely think he would get playing time. He's very, very skilled also.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. Yeah, I mean, I definitely saw the skill. I saw the competition he was going against in his highlight videos. It didn't really seem to be too athletic. It seemed like he was playing against, I mean, normal high schoolers, not to say that high school basketball is a joke, but you know, a lot of these prospects are playing in AAU tournaments and they're in divisions in their high school where they're going against other prospects as well. And I don't feel like Matthew Hurt was going against any a big name competition. I didn't see anything that impressed me. Like, it just seemed like he was playing with a bunch of friends, if that makes any sense.
I mean, okay. So, then that comes to, What was the argument people made last year?
With Zion?
Like, people said Zion
no,
was playing
true,
against.
Zion,
yeah, was playing against.
But
like,
you saw Zion. Zion could jump through the
eighth graders.
Zion could jump through the roof. His athletic ability was unprecedented. With Matthew Hurt, it's like he doesn't have that. So, so I'm listening. The kid could ball. He got recruited to freaking play at Duke. He can ball. My thing is,
I mean, he was a McDonald's All American.
Right. He can absolutely ball. My question is that
he can actually ball.
Right. Is the speed of the game going to overwhelm him? That's my only thing with him. If it doesn't, I think he's going to be fine, because there's players who aren't particularly quick, but they're smart. You know, a recent Duke one that comes to mind is Luke Kennard. I love Luke Kennard. He's one of my favorite players in the past 5 years in college basketball. Maybe he's another Luke Kennard, you know, something like that.
I have a whole – I don't want to go on my whole Luke Kennard rant. That's a whole other thing. But, like, he could possibly fit in a role as – I don't know, maybe, like, was like a Kevin Love. I don't know. Kevin Love.
All right. All right. What's not even going there? Let's move on to Wendell Moore, who I'm pretty sure is absolutely going to get playing time. He just seemed like a basketball player to me. I'm not really sure about the one thing about highlight tapes is like you really don't get to see IQ, but I definitely saw his athleticism. He can drive. He seemed like he was long. So what's the rundown on Wendell Moore, and what do you think of him?
From like what I saw, what I was able to gather, it was like he can do a lot, like all around type game, like a Swiss Army knife. I think, like you said, I think he definitely is going to play just because Duke lost a lot of their perimeter scorers with RJ and Cam leaving, so there's a void to fill from those positions. So he's definitely going to play. A couple of scouting reports I saw, they said they view him as a great shot blocker because he has a long wingspan.
Also, he plays deep.
Like you
That's
said,
good.
Yeah. So I mean, it all depends. Like we always talk about how they perform in college and how will they fit when they get to the NBA. So is this like potential to be like a 3-and-D player with his ability to play defense and hit shots, to be an all around player. So we'll see how he fits in that offense.
All right. And next is Cassius Stanley, who is definitely going to get playing time. 6'5". He's 20 years old, which I don't know how. I mean, well, I can.
As a freshman.
Yeah, I can guess reasons why, but he is athletic as all hell. Can he shoot though, Quab? What do you think? He's definitely going to be drafted next year. Depending on what type of year he has at Duke, you know, he might be a high lottery pick or low lottery pick. But outside of his athleticism, what is there to his game, or does he need work?
I think he needs work. From what I see, he's like he's skilled. The one thing I say about him, like anytime I've seen videos of him, I've seen clips of him playing with and against like NBA players, and like when they have these open runs in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I've seen
some
of those too.
And he never looks out of place.
Same.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. He looks like he belongs.
I said same. Same.
Me too. Right there. I'm right there. Just like that.
I meant same. That's what I thought.
Yeah. He has a chance to get drafted also. Like
he's definitely get drafted.
I think it depends on how he plays in college, because I feel like how's he gonna perform at Duke, and then along with his potential, like what role is he going to fit in?
Okay.
I feel like how he's utilized. And all. So, okay, for example, right? Last year, Cam Reddish came into Duke as one of the top players in the country, hands down, right? As the year progressed, people were like, yo, he should go back for one more year. Like,
that's crazy
because
he
looks complacent. I thought that was crazy. I think Cam Reddish ended up on the perfect team for him. By the way, all three Duke players.
He's gonna have a fantastic career. I think he's gonna be really good. The Hawks are gonna be good.
Same. Sleeper team.
Yeah. If not this year, the next year. They have a bright future. Let's just leave it like that.
But like somebody like Cam Reddish, who was like the man in high school where like he could sleepwalk to 40 points with ease. There's clips out there of other top players talking about how they couldn't stop him, to how like he was viewed throughout the college season because of how he was used at Duke. So it depends on how they're used. Was like, what role they end up playing? Like, I don't know what role does Cassius end up playing? What role does Matthew Redd and Vernon Carey and Wendell Moore, like, how do they fit in? And how do NBA pro scouts view them? Like, how would they fit on my team? So
I just feel like pro scouts just fall in love with athleticism, though, because they see the ceiling and they say, you know what? Like, we'll take a chance and he'll develop or something like that. I think that's what they look for.
I think back in the day, that was a big thing because they were always like, well, you can't teach the one thing's like, oh, you can't teach height, you can't teach natural athletic ability. So like they can work on their other skills in the game, like they can during the season or with their team, so they can become better shooters or better ball handlers and whatnot. But I think now there's a lot of teams seem to be focusing more on skills also in comparison.
All right. And last player is a player who actually played last year, which is actually interesting, but Trey Jones, still an NBA prospect. To me, he's a second rounder. I'm not really sure he has any higher of a ceiling. He needs, I mean, I think we all saw last year, he needs to be able to shoot the ball. That's his Achilles heel. He just doesn't shoot the ball well. I think he's a decent playmaker. I think he's a nice guard in college, but I really can't see him being higher than a second round pick. What about you?
Yeah, I think probably second round. I think he's another example of what I was talking about earlier, because it was like him and Trey Jones in high school was he was the man. He was a beast. Like he could score. Gets to Duke and he is option what,
yeah,
four?
But he didn't even look to score five. The basketball though. Like he
at all, but like that's the role, that's kind of the role he had to kind of fit in. Like I do remember one game they played against Syracuse, and Syracuse of course was playing zone, and Coach K put him at the top of the zone, or no, at the middle of the zone at their free throw line, which you usually don't for a point guard, and he was the reason why they won that game, because he kept hitting mid-range jumpers and making decisions. Like his shot is not broken, but he needs to get it consistent if he has, like you said, any chance of making it in the league, because there are not many point guards who can't shoot the ball or score that are in the league right now. Maybe apart from Rondo.
Yeah, that's the only one I can really think of. And Rubio, that's it.
And Rubio, yeah. But they're so skilled, they make up on the other side of the, you know what I mean? Yeah, completely.
All right, let's move on to UNC. Now, very similar to Duke, they're rivals, so they lost three players to the draft as well. Kobe White, Nassir Little, and Cam Johnson. Listen, Cam Johnson, just a quick nugget. I think Cam Johnson's going to be fine in the NBA. I think he's going to be fine. 3-and-D.
Nugget.
He's been good.
I watched him last year. He played like the best player on the team sometimes, from three point range
in the country or something like that, didn't he? So he's gonna be fine.
I think so.
He's gonna be
up there.
Anyway,
he's gonna be fine. It was just a shock that he got drafted that high.
I know.
Everybody was like, "What is Phoenix doing?" You
could have had him, but they bring in two exciting prospects. Of course they do, because they're UNC. One is Cole Anthony. You want to speak about those NBA gym highlights. He was in one, I think, last week that I saw, and looked like he fit in. Granted, it didn't seem like anyone was really playing defense, but he looked like an NBA player to me already. Did not know who his father was, Greg Anthony, until you told me. That's shocking. But he's extremely athletic. The videos that I saw of him, I love everything about him. I love everything about him. Handle, passing, everything. He seems might be a little short here on the scouting report that you gave me. It says slow release on his 3-point shot, but it does go in. So I think he's a top 3 pick, man. Top 5 pick at worst. I'm that high on him. I think he might be the best point guard in the country going forward. What do you think?
Possibly. He's probably going to be the first point guard picked, if not. But he's going to be one of the top
come to my Knicks, baby. Come to my Knicks.
To the Knicks. You guys have like 7 point guards. You have enough point guards, bro. Yeah, you don't need a point guard.
They're all on 2-year contracts. This is a prospect show, Quab. This is a prospect show. Let's keep it prospect.
This is a prospect. But what is the difference when you look at Cole Anthony? What's the difference between Cole Anthony and like a Dennis Smith Jr.?
His passing ability. He seems like he's a willing passer, which is something I want in my point guard. He actually, like Dennis Smith Jr. and Cole Anthony, probably equally as athletic. But Cole Anthony to me just looks, and honestly, he looks like he has a better jump shot than Dennis Smith Jr. too. I mean, it's highlights, so I have to see in a game. But he just seems like a better basketball player. He seems like he's a smarter, high IQ player. So I would rather him.
Okay. I mean, well, it probably helps that his dad played in the NBA too. So that always, I feel like that always gives these kids an advantage.
And Greg Anthony,
I don't know where he got so athletic.
Yeah, neither do I. Maybe his mom was like ridiculously athletic. But Greg Anthony was a smart, he was a backup point guard his whole life, but he was a smart, solid backup point guard. So maybe he tossed his eye, and he's an analyst on TV. So he's got to know the game. You figure he passed it down to his son. I'm rooting for Cole. And the second prospect that UNC picked up, Armando Bacot. Is that how you pronounce it?
I think Bacot.
Bacot.
Armando
like bacon. But Bacot. Oh, Bacot, as in like put this in the oven and bake it.
Yo, Armando, if you hear this, I apologize if we're messing up your name. Don't worry about it.
It looks like Bacot.
Put it in the oven. Put it in the oven and bake it. Armando. It's a 6'10 freshman center.
okay. What do you think of him? Can he shoot from the outside? I mean, obviously he has a nice wingspan. He's tall, 5-star recruit, all that good stuff. But how is his skills going to translate not only the college level but the NBA level?
I mean, he's more of an inside player from what I saw. The games I saw him play at IMG, and that team was stacked with like D1 prospects and like future NBA players. He was just like your anchor, your center, very vocal defensive player, plays hard. He's just like a lot of these, I think a lot from a lot of the scouting reports is like with a lot of these big kids, it's like your stamina. But right. I feel like that's something that can be easily corrected when they get to college, because you're going to be in a weight program, True. All that. strength and conditioning. So, yeah, he's strictly an inside player from what I've seen, not really outside. So,
okay. All right. Sounds good. So that's UNC right there. I'm really looking forward to Cole Anthony. I know I can't stress that enough. Let's move on to Kentucky.
So I really will Cole
I'm
Anthony.
I'm a Cole Anthony fan, man. I am.
Just off the rip right now, Cole Anthony.
Yeah, Cole Anthony.
So if you had a number one pick.
Oh, I don't know. But all I know is that my Knicks need a point guard. Like that's how I think. If I had the number one pick, I'd probably go with I guess I'll go Anthony Edwards, just for the simple fact I'll defer to the experts. For now. So I have to see them play the game though.
True. Same.
This is all highlights I'm seeing. I don't go to high school games and I don't watch these kids. I have to wait to get to college. All right, let's move on to Kentucky, the home of one and dones before Duke has kind of taken that away from them. Now it's interesting because now they're returning a lot of players. It's like not Kentucky anymore. Calipari, I don't know if he lost his touch or if they changed gears. I don't know what's going on, but they have a bunch of new prospects coming in. Let's start with Tyrese Maxey. He's a combo guard. He can score. Can he create though? And if he can't, is he going to play point guard? What's going to happen in Kentucky? How do you see him translating into the NBA? Because he's 6'2". To me, if you're 6'2", you got to learn how to play point guard.
Yeah, he's more of a scorer. He can play point guard, but he can really shoot and score. Like he can really shoot
right.
The ball. Very skilled scorer. Like smooth game, can handle the ball, all that. I mean that. With how skilled he is as a shooter and scorer, there's still like he could be a combo guard, like even though like he's kind of short in the mold of like a who's a good comparison, like Austin Rivers or Lou Williams, kind of off the bench type of scorer, or even if you put him next to a taller point guard, I don't know, but like he's probably gonna end up playing the two at Kentucky right now just because they have two point guards returning also, so. He's gonna end up having to play the two, and I don't know. What did you think when you watched some of his highlights?
Same, exactly. He just seemed like someone who just ball. You know what I mean? Who can score? He's just a professional scorer.
Yeah.
But to me, it worries me because he's 6'2". You know what I mean? When you're 6'2", like you're gonna be fine in college. He'll probably play combo guard at Kentucky because of Ashton Haggins, who we're gonna talk about next. But like, come on, like you gotta give me more if you're 6'2" in the NBA. You gotta be able to create for others. You know. There are very few players I could think of who were that short, who were like instant offense off the, like a Nate Robinson comes to mind. You know what I mean?
True.
Someone like that. And he was shorter than Tyrese. But for me personally, I don't really see him going higher than like 20 or something like that if he goes to the NBA.
Okay. Okay. I think it all depends on fit. Like I'll say this, last year coming into the season, like Kobe White wasn't seen as a point guard. He was seen as a two.
Okay.
And then he ended up playing point and did like a good enough job to get drafted in the lottery. So there's always.
I thought he was great.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. So I think the next one is Ashton Haggins. And
yes.
That's the returning point guard for Kentucky. And the one comparison I always hear about him is like I think somebody compared him to like a young Patrick Beverley in terms of like defense.
Right.
Like he gets after defensively, not really offensively. Like he's
a grinder. He's a grinder. He's gonna get in your head. He's gonna be tough. He's gonna play the position. He's gonna run the offense. He's not gonna do anything crazy. But he's a grinder. Yeah, Patrick Beverley. I like that comparison a lot.
Yeah, I think
you see him going high. I mean, it says here he could find himself in the first round. What do you think?
Well, again, kind of like similar to when we're talking about Trey Jones, if his shot, if he shows improvement in of a consistent jump shot. Then that's when like NBA teams might be like, okay, we can see him just because of his like, of his measurables, like 6'3", long wingspan. He competes every time, but he's also like a really good.
Right.
He's also a really good teammate. I was reading a bunch of scouting reports where we're talking about how he was comfortable stepping back and letting somebody like Tyler Hero carry the offense. But sometimes it was to like he did it too much, where you were just like, okay, you can be aggressive too. You don't have to always like be laid back and not like play hard.
So he's smart. He sounds like a smart player. Like that's what it sounds like. But to me, you know, you got to offer a little more. But if you're going to be a lottery pick or high first round, so I could see him going late first round, maybe early second.
Yeah, same.
Next is Khalil Whitney, 6'7" freshman. To me, I saw his highlights. Just seemed like someone who can thrive in transition. But I'm not really sure if he can shoot or do anything else. What's the lowdown on
him?
You're
like, yo, boy can dunk though.
I get that, but I mean, you got to show me you can play ball. You can read an offense on. You know what I mean? Like, that's the one thing with, you know, high school tapes and these highlight tapes that we see. It's, you don't really get to see the IQ of the basketball player. You just kind of see, oh, they're extremely athletic. You know, very rarely do you get to see someone's IQ or how they handle something in the half court. And with him, it just seemed like, okay, he can jump.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how he looks. He will look at Kentucky because I've seen some tapes of him hitting shots, pulling up, and all that. That part of the game has to be consistent. Like I said, yeah, we know you can run, you can jump in transition. You're a terror, but like can't always play in transition 100% of the time. So what can you do in the half court?
Right.
So yeah, I'm interested to see how he turns out. I've seen some draft boards have him in a possible first round, like low first rounder, high second rounder. So it depends on how he looks at Kentucky.
All right, and last one is, how do you pronounce his last name?
Okay, I'm gonna mess this one up. Johnny Jazang.
Johnny Jazang. We'll call him Johnny J.
Johnny J.
Yeah, he was not talked about, but he reminds me of a young Harris Menzel. What do you think?
Yo, why? That's why you got me.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. And Harris was nice.
Yeah, I know I'm not wrong.
I know you're not wrong. Harris led the nation in field goal percentage. So.
Exactly. Harris Menzel led the nation in field goal percentage.
At Rider University. At our alma mater, so even though we don't rep it, but Johnny J is 6'7", right?
Yeah.
Skilled all around, kind of smooth game, can shoot and kind of score with ease. Kind of like you said, not talked about because I think he got hurt going into his senior year. The one thing that somebody made a point to me about him was that it's kind of like similar to like Tyler Hero. Nobody was talking about him before the season started.
Okay.
And
yeah,
but his game just fit. So you were just like, okay, that kid's going, like he's going to be a prospect. So Johnny has a chance, like depending on how well he plays during the season. I can't believe you compared him to Harris Manziel. I'm still dying, bro.
I'm not wrong though.
I know you're not wrong.
I don't care.
I know I'm you're not wrong, but there's going to be like five specific people that we know who are going to hear that and just die laughing because you said that.
Well, I'm not wrong, and that wraps it up for our usual suspects episode. We're going to have another episode before the season starts, and after that, I'm not really sure how many episodes we're going to have. Obviously, we're going to have to wait until these kids actually hit the courts on college to actually evaluate them and see how they move up and down the draft boards. But if you want, listen, you can follow us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, all the podcast platforms. Give us 5 stars, leave us a review, all that good stuff. You can follow Believe Podcast at Believe Podcast. I'm Josh Rodriguez at Josh_Rodriguez_. Quab, where can they find you?
I'm Quab at Quab, a.k.a. Y-E-S. That's only follow me on Twitter and everything else with that. Just Quab. It's just Quab.
All right, everybody. So until next time, we'll catch you around.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.